edition of That More Podcast. You're joined today by myself, Omar, and my regular co-host, Mickey. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, fella. All good. It's sunshining. It's lovely.
All the better for 3 points on Saturday as well, mate.
Oh, definitely all the better for 3 points on Saturday, mate. That was a hard, hard-fought win, wasn't it? That was definitely what I think the championships got to look forward to this season. There are some hard games to come, and I think Rotherham's going to surprise a lot of people this season. They're a very physical side, a bit like what Matt said before, that they're a very physical side and they take it to the teams. Fuck me, did they take it to us?
Yeah, I think you say something to look forward to. I mean, if you're a neutral watching that game, you probably won't be writing home about it. Even myself, when I was sitting on Saturday, it wasn't a game for the purists, I think. But end of the day, it was hard to beat ourselves. We stood up to their challenge. You're mentioning the physicality of them, but we've rocked up there, mate, and we've got 3 points. I know it was through a mistake as well. I mean, after the game, Rowett was quite, he was complimentary of the side, but at the same time, critical of the creative outlet. But I think that will come in a few games' time, mate. So I couldn't be happier. 3 points, 4 points on the board, 2 clean sheets in 2 as well, mate. It's all positive omens, I think.
Yeah, I think it's all good. I think, you know, I mean, there is a couple of points to pick up for, I suppose. You know, yeah, okay, it was a mistake, but good to see Jed get on the starting, on the scoring sheet again. Bradshaw. You can't fault Bradshaw for his work rate, but surely that's what he's meant to do. The only downside is that he's a fucking striker. Why the fuck can't he score goals?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think you can't be critical too much of him on his own for not scoring, but I think I agree with you. Like, even his confidence is a bit zapped. I think I watched the interview with Rowett after the game, like I just said there, but he also said there was one opportunity I remember in the second half where he gets the ball and he's running towards goal, but instead of putting his foot through it and having a shot, he's playing it sideways and being a bit protective of himself. I think you can tell he's a bit lacking in that confidence to take a couple of risks, but I'm sure if he gets a run of games, I mean, I think Parrott started on Wednesday, I read somewhere earlier today, so let's not get ahead of ourselves with that one. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting if once he comes back in or if Rowett gives Parrott a chance, maybe there'll be a bit more creativity. But, I mean, on the whole, like I said, I don't think many teams will go to Rotherham and get 3 points this year. And I think we've got some ridiculous record, mate, where, like, we've got 11 clean sheets in 17 away games under Rowett, which is, I mean, you can't knock the 5-3-2 away from home, can you, mate, or the 5-2-3?
No, I think Rowlett's got the away sealed up and he knows what's what. You know, I like with his interview as well and you know, the written piece as well, where he said that he was debating whether or not to take Parrott with him. You know, if he needed a goal, he was going to take him with him and put him on. And he thought, you know what, I'll let him have another little bit of rest and then I'll get him in for the game where we really need him. And it just shows really what, you know, what Cole said and you know, hopefully we'll get to speak to Cole later in the week maybe again, but I think this season all the clubs will be concentrating heavily on the cup games because it's extra revenue, when right now they need as much revenue as they can. I mean, if the rumours what are coming out are true, between the whole of the Premiership and the Football League, they're losing 200 million near enough a month. I suppose, you know, 1500 quid for winning a game, you know, couple of grand for winning a game is big money.
Very true. I mean, at the time of recording, I can finally say the club are letting people renew their season tickets. I know that's something we've spoke about a few times, but as of today, on the 21st September, you can buy your season ticket if you haven't done so already. They've done a lottery point system, which, I mean, the point system, it was there for a reason. And I mean, it's been there in there for 3 or 4 years now, hasn't it, mate? So I understand the whole, you know, some people don't go away games, but everyone's always had a season ticket for at home. But I think the points total, I think it was 520 points, mate. So it takes into account the last couple of seasons. You get 230 points for having a season ticket a season anyway. So you're not far away if you throw some cup games at home. Yeah, I don't think it was too unreasonable, was it, or anything? I think it's probably the fairest thing to do, in my opinion.
I think the thing what I take on board from when I was found on the board was always that whenever the club said you need X amount of tickets, you know, X amount of points, was that the way they worked it out, that if everybody within that bracket wanted a ticket, then they'd get a ticket. So it's not as if, right, we've only got 1,500 or whatever. They would have worked it out that probably near enough or just under would have had, you know, there'd be enough tickets for all those people on the loyalty points. And then if everybody takes them, then obviously they might say, well, actually, there's a couple of hundred left, but we'll do it now, a lower one. Possibly, I don't know. But that's how they used to do it before when, you know, when we had the big away games. It was, you need 600 points. And it was literally, they'd worked it out that how many people had those points could get tickets. So you're pretty much guaranteed to get a ticket if you've got that many points. That's normally how it works. So again, I think, you know, if you do have an issue, I think it's tickets at Millwall, millwallplc.com or whatever is the email, or look on Twitter, which is, I think it's Millwall SLO or Billy Taylor 9 in it, I think. They seem to be doing all their answering today, or you've got the MSC to go after or whatever. But I'd probably say, you know, get in touch with the club. It saves going through third parties then and forwarding messages on. I see there's been a few teething problems, but you know what? We all work around websites and stuff and whatnot, and we know that no matter how good a system is, once you launch it, you'll find bugs in it as it goes on. And I think, you know, I think we've just got to bear with them. I think everyone's going to get a ticket who wants one within that bracket, but I think we've just got to bear with them and just be a bit patient rather than just constantly just gunning for them online. I think they're, you know, certain points we just need to sit back and go, actually, you know, this might not necessarily be all their own fault. Let's just let it go ahead and see.
Yeah, I think it feels significant though, like, as in you can buy a season ticket now. October's hopefully, I mean, God knows what's going to happen, mate, in the next couple of weeks, but it feels significant that hopefully something's around the corner, because God, I miss it. I enjoy watching it on the Saturday and listening to our friend of the pod, Carl, commentating on it. Don't get me wrong, but there's nothing that can replace the idea of being at the games itself. And, you know, I think I can't wait to get back to the games in any capacity. I mean, Mickey, we're going to bring it on to our little sub-feature that you've gone off and done on your own today, mate, and worked out. But you spoke to a Charlton fan, didn't you?
Yeah, watch my mouth out. No, my daughter is a competitive swimmer, and she trains 5 nights a week. So one of the dads, who his daughter goes swimming, one of her mates who she goes swimming with, just happened out of the blue about 20 minutes ago, maybe a bit longer now, before this call, he just said, oh yeah, I went to Charlton on Saturday. And I just thought it was an ideal opportunity just to have a chat, find out how it goes, because, you know, if we've got it coming up, one, it'll be good to just know what works for them, whether or not they had some things what changed. It gives us some points to put towards the club, maybe to make sure that they do things what they didn't necessarily do. But no, it's about 15 minutes, maybe, you know, 17 minutes worth of it. There is a bit of banter in there, of course, because it is Charlton. We need to give it a little bit, as always. But yeah, let's play that, and then we'll come back in a minute and carry on our discussion. Do you want to press the button then, Omar? Off you go.
Okay, welcome. Then just a catch-up, really. I'm lucky enough, one of the dads my daughter goes swimming with is a Charlton fan. Well, cut out on the booze. But he was lucky enough to go to football on Saturday with Charlton. I just thought it would be a good bit of understanding, really, just to see what went on with them. Is obviously we're looking to hopefully get fans in against Luton in October. Obviously, they were one of the trial teams against Doncaster. So, Silent Dad, how was it, and how did it go?
Well, it was weird, but it was great to be back, obviously, watching live football at the Valley, or any live football, to be fair. And if, hopefully the trial, in whatever capacity, because I know the other teams trialled it as well, in whatever capacity it works, and we can get all our fans, even Millwall fans, back into our grounds to see proper football.
So did you... obviously, they're talking about... getting you inside the ground. So there was only, I think, about 1,000 or so. So you were lucky to get a ticket in that. But obviously, I know you're an Arden Charlton fan, so you've probably got all the law points and that there. But when you go in, obviously, was it through the normal way? And was there temperature checks or, you know, sanitised water? So let's start at the beginning of the journey into the stadium. what were the procedures and how did that go?
Well, just before that, I'll touch on how the ticket system went. Yeah. So you're exactly right. It was based on, there was 1,000 tickets released and it was based on loyalty points. So obviously if you've got a season ticket, if you bought away tickets last year, so there was different times you could go in during the day. Some people went in during on the Thursday and up to 5:30. I went in 9:30 and managed to secure my tickets. And it was like picking tickets, like you go to a cinema where you pick it, and it was all done by row. So each row had, it was, you couldn't sit at the seat at the end of the aisle, so you're not close to the aisle for people to walk up and down. It was one in our aisle, and then there was 4 seats spare next to you, and then there's 1 more seat. And so then you go 4 again. But the row behind you would stagger at a different point. So they'd sit, whereas me and my daughter were 4 apart, the row behind and the row in front are in the middle of us. That's almost like a diamond formation.
So you obviously went with your dad, your daughter, and you. So you were sitting 4 seats apart from your daughter, and your daughter was sitting 4 seats apart. So you're pretty much a whole row for 3 people.
Well, it's quite a long row. We probably had about 7 people in our row spread out across the whole row. But the way I booked it, I booked 1 in from the end. So it was me, 4 spaces between me and my daughter, and I put my dad in the row behind. Right. So we're almost like in the diamond, but we're in sort of a family bubble anyway. And then to be fair, when the game started, my daughter obviously come up and sit next to me. No one challenged me. I was waiting for the challenge, because obviously I live with my daughter 24/7, so there wasn't an issue. The only downside I would come on to is that we had to wear a face mask all the time. But I'll come back to the turnstile. So going back to the original point, you were given time slots to be at the ground, to go in through the turnstiles. So as you're queuing up, you're socially distancing queuing up, you've got your face mask on, you've got your tickets already printed, so there's no tickets being sent out, obviously, to your home. You have to print them off at home. And then as you approach to go in towards the turnstiles, they take your temperature, and then you filter around. So you've got maybe 5 or 6 turnstiles together where they're grouped 2 next to each other. Obviously one of them's all taped off and you're going through one turnstile, and there's all hand sanitizers as you approach. When you get into the ground, most Millwall fans know the Valley. North Lower is the home end, just that was open, and part of the West Lower behind the dugouts. The rest of the ground was all shut. So as we went in, there was arrows everywhere telling you which way to go. One-way systems, no food outlets and drink outlets open inside. It's a bit contradictory because they did say that there was going to be the little pop-up sort of push-along sort of stalls. They wasn't there. So some people brought some stuff in, some didn't. Some people allegedly got it taken off them. So that are all form part of the feedback, I'm sure.
Did you take food in?
We just took some drinks and some snacks.
Did you have it taken off or you?
No. I was ready for a debate because obviously my 12-year-old daughter and my dad, and we're going in. You're not sitting there from 1:30 to 3:00.
So you got there at 1:30 in the afternoon. I mean, that's a long time to be sitting. I mean, on a normal match day, it's not too bad getting there at 1:30 because obviously sometimes there'll be some pre-match entertainment, sometimes there'll be the warm-ups and everything else, and it's not too bad watching. But in the current climate, 1:30, an hour and a half early, can be a nightmare, especially as it's an open stadium with that sun coming in. Could be sitting around doing nothing. It's definitely factor 50.
We took sun cream anyway, but others didn't. Others had hat on, some didn't. People wanted water, some had it, some didn't. So the North Lower was warm.
Was water provided or
no? But again, I'm guessing that's going to, if we get the opportunity to feedback, a lot of people will say that, because I think something needs to be provided. The story I heard about not having the food outlets open, it's because it includes the amount of people that are allowed in the stand at any one time.
Right.
So whether that's the truth, I mean, queuing-wise, you can all queue social distancing. We all know what half-time's like at most grounds. It's pointless going down there because you queue rubbish food and rubbish beer. So I think grounds are very similar.
I'm glad that don't change just being at this toll and it's shit at Millwall too.
And the marvellous people that work behind the counter are clearly full of A-levels and know how to serve and produce stuff ready and beforehand or waiting for us.
I think we have the same agency that employs both staff here. So
besides that, it was a very hot day, obviously Saturday, and obviously the sun sits behind the south stand, which is the away end for your fans. So the sun's beaming in you. So, you know, we had an opportunity to go down into the concourse and try and cool down. And again, long as you are socially distanced, there wasn't a problem. You queue up for the toilet socially distanced. If you had to go to the toilet, there's no problem. What they don't want is 20, 30 people all going, walking up
the aisle. Was there stewards on the toilet?
Stewards all downstairs, a couple of stewards. Stewards weren't really, they were standing at the aisle tunnels, if you like, as you come upstairs. They weren't blocking you down the aisle. They were pretty good. Again, it was all new to them. They all got the face mask on.
So you're in the ground. you've got in all the aggro, whatever it is, to get in, which it sounds as if it wasn't that much aggro, to be fair, to get in. You're in, your hands are sanitised, you're masked up. The game kicks off. Are you allowed to celebrate if you score?
Yeah, of course you can, It's natural, but again, you're all spread out through your four seats apart from each other, so you still get up. Well, we only had to celebrate one goal, which I'm sure you'll love that, having scored three against us. But I didn't really want
to go into it too much.
There's not really much of a match report to give, to be fair. But besides that, you're trying to sing through masks. That isn't great. You're still singing, so the noise is there. It's just great to see the players come out and get involved in it.
And again, on the players, I mean, obviously, you as you said, you only scored once.
Wasn't in front of us.
Yeah, but did the players celebrate towards the fans? Because the biggest thing what you've noticed through lockdown is the players don't seem to be over-celebrating. You know, they're scoring. It's like a pre-season friendly. Like, and then back to the centre. Kick off again and all that. I mean,
Doncaster certainly seemed to celebrate their goals. Obviously, we were three down by the time we'd got our goals, so there wasn't really that much to celebrate. But in general, they acknowledged the crowds and sort of run around and grabbed the ball to take it back again.
That was it with the ball. You said that you were obviously instructed if the ball comes into the crowd, you weren't allowed to you weren't allowed to throw it directly back to the player. You had to give it to someone.
No, so there was plenty of PA messages during the course of the game, before the game, during the game, advising you to, you know, wear your mask. You know, and if a ball comes into you, you're not allowed to throw it back onto the pitch towards the players. You've got to give it to the ball person that sits around the edge of the pitch. I'm assuming they clean the ball before they put it back on the little bits on the edge of the pitch. So yeah, you can't just throw it back into. They have to take another ball, multi ball, I suppose, where it's around the edge of the pitch. But you can't just throw it back in.
So. You watched the game, everything else, so that was all right. Obviously, you couldn't get food, but obviously on further trials, I believe that trials with different clubs are doing it differently, so they've got a better understanding of how it works and whatnot. So, end of game, you're obviously disappointed you lost, and I keep saying that. And normally, at the end of a football game, it's everyone wants to leave the building. As fast as possible, regardless of the score. Unless you win, then obviously you're there for a little bit longer, cheering and shouting. But at the end of the game, how was that?
Yeah, just like normal, the players obviously finished, so everyone was applauding the players. It's normally good. Some people had already left a bit early, probably because of the disappointing result. But in general, when the final whistle was blown, we're already told prior to that in PA announcements, and there was also, I should have said, also an online video we had to all sort of watch to understand the processes of returning to the ground and the measures that have been put in. So when the final whistle went, you had to remain in your seat, and then all the stewards started coming down the stairs, and they released each block, a block and a row at a time. So you farmed out a bit like you would when you were leaving a funeral or a wedding. You file out one aisle at a time, so again, to try and not let everyone go out all at one time. It was a phased exit. And, you know, no one was really worried about it because, again, we'd lost. But, you know what? It was part of the trial. It's just important we all got it right for the future for everyone.
Yeah, because I suppose as well that these trials taking place, that if you fuck them up, then it fucks up for the whole of football.
Yeah, so,
So, obviously, you're an avid Charlton fan. You go most weeks home and away as much as you can and whatnot. How did this... feel like football, or did this feel very sanitised football?
It was strange. It was football, but you can't say not as we know it, because you were still watching the football. You could hear the players more because obviously there's no ground noise, there's no big influx of fans. It was just strange to be in the ground, distance, constantly having to wear your mask, constantly thinking I've got to clean my hands. But if you're doing it already at work and travelling into London, it's sort of becoming a bit of a norm.
Yeah.
But I would, maybe not the face mask. I have no problems wearing my face mask, going into the ground, walking around the ground. But when I'm at my seat, I want to be taking my face mask off, just like I would do when I'm at work. But, you know, if we could do that, and I would suffer sitting, you know. We've completed a survey. I don't know whether Millwall fans done similar. All season ticket holders were sent an online survey to complete about 3 weeks ago, that you could put yourself into bubbles, if you like, of six. So I thought that was in preparation for the trial game, but I'm guessing it's in preparation for... Because Blackpool, if you look on the telly this weekend, Blackpool, also one of the seven clubs that trialled it, they put... So maybe they trialled it slightly different, or they were told to trial it different. They put people into small bubbles, so you could go as a family or friends, as a group of four, and sit around. I think they had all four stands open.
Yeah, what Stirling Mill, I don't believe they sent out a survey. What I think they've done is basically said to, they had, you had a set time, and if you're a season ticket holder, then basically what they wanted you to do was say, I sit next to you, or I sit next to, you know, him and all that, and you're allowed to put people into, I think you're allowed to be, six. Into a group, or you could put more into a group of who you sit or know, and then I think you can then buy a season ticket around these people, because obviously I think we're releasing 6,000, 2,000 even, 2,000 season tickets in preparation for obviously going forward, but it is what it is. But I suppose really it's small steps. I mean, just briefly, while I've got you, we've been chatting about it a bit. I mean, how did it work out with your tickets from last season? You had all your refunds sorted out, or how did the refunds process start with Charlton? Because you had a different system to how we done.
Yeah, we were chatting previously, and Charlton had some options. So you could keep your... So if you missed, I think it was maybe 3, 4, 5 games, whatever we missed, at the home games we missed at the end of the season, you could keep that money in your ticket account if you like to purchase tickets for Nick or for this current season, if the situation changed. At the moment, it won't. You could use that money to buy this season's, put it towards this season ticket. You could put it towards the club. Any other time we may have done that, but obviously there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes at Charlton, so maybe not. If it went towards the youth team or disabled and things like that, we'd be, you know, I think people would be,
I think
be
ours fine was, by that. We looked at, I think ours you could donate to the trust.
Yeah, there was options. I'm not quite. You could have it as a club shop. So my daughter, for example, got £20 back on her ticket, so you could change that to a club shop voucher.
Right,
which
okay.
made sense for her. Yep. I think I had about £65-70 sitting in my account, so I just pushed it forward to renew my ticket for this year.
So you got it off your season ticket for this year, which you've already bought already.
So already bought, and so we bought out, you know, with Millwall fans, we're all going to support your club. Yeah. We go League One, League Two, all the mess that's going on at Charlton, he's still going to support, if we all start supporting our clubs, they die.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm hearing rumours at the moment that the Premiership are losing £100 million a month, and Championship clubs are losing anything up to £1 million each per month. You know, fans need to get back in quickly, but I think also that, you know, is it time that we seriously take a look at wages within football? Because especially this week, when you're looking at Gareth Bale's gone to Tottenham on £600,000 a week, yet, you know, you've got clubs losing £400,000 more than that a month. So realistically, if you take Gareth Bale's wages for 1 month, pretty much you could save a Championship club or a level one, League One, Two, Three, Four club, save losing that on a month, and that £1 million could save them a lot longer.
Or you look at the sad situation, I don't know the full situation behind it, the Bury last season, we've just recently had Macclesfield last week.
I mean, Macclesfield I think is a bit more in depth regarding it, but I mean, look what's going on with you. It's, you know, I the EFL and whatnot have a lot of rules and regulations they need to look at, but I think, you know, the problem they have is they run the league, they don't actually run the football clubs, and unless they put too many rules in that anyone can buy, you know, you can't stop me buying a car, I can buy a car even if I can't drive, so technically I could buy a football club even if I've got no idea of running it, really.
You wouldn't want to buy us anyway, would you?
I would buy Charlton just to close you and build a house and estate on the valley. Yeah.
The council made it crystal clear that they won't grant planning permission for the valley, so don't worry.
I think Charlton's going to Greenwich anyway, next to the O2, to be fair. It's been lined up for years, and we won't go there, so yeah. Well, look, it's just a little catch-up, really. I just thought that I've caught up with him tonight, and I just think it's interesting to listen to. Obviously, we've got it coming forward, hopefully, for Millwall. If you don't like it, just skip through it. But I just think it helps create that little bit of a debate about it by someone who's actually been there. We're all chatting about it. We've not had the privilege to be there, but he has. So it sounds as if Charlton run a good operation on Saturday. And hopefully we can do the same when we get it against Luton, hopefully in October, depending, obviously, on the outcome of Boris's decisions tomorrow. So, look, let's go back in with me and Omar, and we'll have a chat on this. So, thanks very much, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks, Darren, there for that little sub piece, and well done, Mickey, using your initiative to do a bit for the pod there. I appreciate that, mate. Yeah, it sounds interesting. I think, you know, it's fair what he's saying. Like, it sounds like it was a well-run operation, just as I kind of suspected last week when I was talking about it on the show last time out. But, you know, I think if there's anything in place that is most legislated, forget about going to a pub where, you know, they're kind of not really forcing you to put the track and trace at a football stadium, all season ticket holders, all the details there. You know, it can't be 100% guaranteed that nothing's going to be outbroken from it. But, you know, there's enough rules in there by the looks of it, and it seems to be a well-run thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, he said, you know, from walking in the gate, obviously, like I said, you know, temperature checked, he's sorting out the tickets online. Obviously, as a season ticket holder, he just goes in under his ticket and basically chooses his seat, like he said, like a cinema. Obviously, there was no food there that could have been, yeah, I mean, he's quite within the Charlton fan setup and stuff. I think he used to run a Charlton group many years ago and stuff. But he said, you know, the rumour was there that if they'd have had people in the kiosk, or the rumour is it's not confirmed, but possibly you wouldn't have been able to have as many fans in. So I think they sort of took the decision to close the food rather than having it in and obviously not having enough fans. But some took their own food in. He said that some seemed to possibly have been pulled on it, but he wasn't. And I think his only downside from it was that you had to get there really early. And also that all the time in the stadium, you had to wear your mask.
I mean, so, you know, it's one of those things. It's unfortunate.
Small sacrifices.
Exactly. If you tell me I need to turn up a bit earlier, like you said earlier, mate, anyone that wants one will go and get one. I know there's people against the idea of going, rightly so, for health concerns. Some people are not sure about renewing their season ticket now because they don't know when we can go back and they feel it's a waste of money. Everyone's got their own opinion. End of the day, the people that want to go, it will be fine. You just need to tolerate a little bit of it and we'll benefit in the long term out of it and get what we want from it, which is to see me all play in person again. So, fingers crossed.
No, that's it. And you know, look, good luck to the people there. I don't normally do season ticket. I'm not there in the loyalty points. I mean, especially the last couple of years when with fan on the board, I never really had a season ticket and that because I used to obviously use my pass or get tickets, go around different parts, sit with people, that sort of stuff. So, you know, look, I'm in no category to argue over the loyalty points. I think it's great. I think fans who are going to be able to get there, great. You know, I'll be watching on iFollow and whatnot. But again, another week, another iFollow cock up where, you know, there is a constant lag on iFollow. If you follow on Twitter and watch iFollow, like what we probably do, where you're looking at Twitter stuff, because obviously we're looking at it for stuff for the pod, but there is a lag anyway, but it just seemed to be commentary and footage seemed to be well out. I mean, you know, they announced the goal before the ball was even in the area. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if that is Carl's fault. Maybe we'll put it to him on later in the week if we can get him on again, because I imagine he's got like a little box set up there that he plugs into and maybe there's a little bit of a lag. But I mean, it's not perfect for iFollow. I'm thankful we can get a stream and watch it, obviously, but it's different now that they're charging £10 per game for it. You'd expect a little bit more quality from it, I imagine, but it's one of the unfortunate things. I think when we're watching the games myself, I always tell anyone I'm around, put your phones down, turn Twitter notifications off, because I hate that kind of hearing the phone go off thinking something's about to happen. You hear Twitter bleep and you're like, right, okay, yeah, something's about to happen now. It's the same thing with anyone if they've got betting apps or anything when it tunes into the games. Like, bing, and you're like, oh, here we go, what's going to happen? So a rule for myself when I'm watching it with my mates recently is phones off, or, you know, put Twitter notifications off at least, because God, mate, it's a little bit of suspense that's not needed. But I think it can't be perfect, unfortunately, especially when it's got to be across so many games. You can't have Sky cameras there watching it. It's just got to be make do with what they get to give us, I guess.
I think the problem you've got with iFollow is that it was never designed for this purpose. It was always designed for the international market. And I think, you know, I think a lot of it with the international market, the lag is probably to do with betting regulations for stuff abroad, and unfortunately we're trying to jump on it for the best thing. The downside is that it's not beneficial for the clubs, because the more cock-ups they have, the less likely people are to, you know, to tune in and pay and watch it and everything else, which is detrimental to the club. And again, it's not anything to do with the club. The club has no control over it. It's a company called IMG, IMG Studios, and EFL. But it amazes you. It's the same company that does a snooker, but they seem to do that okay, but can't fucking seem to stream a football match properly.
Well, I think you're kind of stuck in a hard place there. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's going to change anytime soon, but like we're hoping we can be back to the game soon. So that's something we can move on from, hopefully. Should we talk about Wednesday night, Burnley at home? What do you reckon?
It's what we wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be an interesting game, I think. I watched them last night. I think it was against Leicester on BBC. They weren't impressive, to be honest. I think you've got Chris Wood returning, who obviously was the one that we always wanted to keep many moons ago on the jacket. I don't know, you're mentioning teams taking it seriously. When they played the first game against Sheffield United, they played a near enough full team there. So it won't be an easy game by the looks of it, mate.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, when I say teams are taking it seriously, I don't think necessarily Premiership team are going to be really that worried about, you know, a grand or two, what you win for, you know, getting through to the next round. But teams like us, that money does mean a lot. So, yeah, I think we'll end up putting out a strong side. The talk that he's looking to put Parrott out, I think we're definitely take it to Burnley. I don't think it's going to be a layover. And I think, you know, especially that with winning that, we get through to another Premiership, which will be another televised game. And, I mean, that's about 100 grand as well, I think, for a televised game. So, yeah, it's all a win-win for that, isn't it?
No, definitely. I don't think this game's on TV on Wednesday, is it? I think they've chosen another game because it's a 7 o'clock kickoff on Wednesday night for us.
I thought it was on because I didn't think it was on iFollow, is it?
I could be mistaken. I didn't see. Maybe I missed the memo. We'll correct that ourselves if I'm wrong. But I don't think. I thought they went for another game. I'm trying to see now if I can find it. I could be mistaken. I know the Luton game's on TV. But obviously, yeah, if we are on TV, then obviously it's a good revenue bonus for us. But I think it's a 7 o'clock kickoff on Wednesday night. So I don't think we are on TV. I think they went for Fleetwood Everton. I could be mistaken. But yeah, I don't think it's live on TV. But iFollow should have it if not. So, but yeah, no, like I said about Burnley, though, when they play Sheffield United, they played about 7 or 8 players that played on Sunday. So it will be interesting. Sean Dyche returning to the Den as well. Obviously, it's a shame we can't be there to give him a bit of stick whilst the game's on. He always comes across well in interviews, and I think he's always complimentary of us as a club. So unfortunately, we won't be able to be there to return the favour in 90 minutes anyway. But you found it? Are we on TV?
No, I'm still looking. So yeah, I'm just seeing. I thought the Premier League were going to be on telly, but no, streamed and iFollow.
Yeah.
Not all non-televised matches in this will be streamed. So iFollow, a club equivalent service, EFL club versus Premier Club, streamed on Carabao Cup Live. Premier Club versus Premier Club, streamed on Carabao Cup Live, whatever that is. Streaming the match, temporary measure. So yeah, it looks as if, yeah, Sean Dyche, yeah, he had a game last game against Leicester was on Sunday, was a 7 o'clock kickoff as well.
BBC One, wasn't it? So yeah, they had the rights to watch it. So I think Premier League, every game is getting televised till they allow fans back in the stadium. So I think that's how they're compromising with it.
Yeah, I think it's just a way for the Premier League to make money, and also the fact that the Premier League teams don't have to give back shitloads of Sky money, because otherwise I don't think any club's going to want to, you know, that split between the clubs is fortune. I don't think anyone wants to end up give back, you know, 50 plus, 60 plus million for not showing every game. So yeah.
Yep.
Same way you can't get the TV revenue. So yeah.
If we beat them and we get Man City at home, if that's not on TV, then there is an outrage somewhere. I'm sure that will be a game that's televised. So we can hope.
Back in the day.
Yeah, a bit before my time, unfortunately, but I've heard tales before. So Main Road, they used to play it, didn't they, and stuff like that. I always used to hear about all the stories of the away games and stuff like that.
I think the story is about Stockport Station. I mean, I've been told a few times about Stockport Station, where Millwall fans went there, and there was a poor officer, a lone officer, who they weren't expecting Millwall to get the train to there. but they got the train there, I think, and I think they ended up meeting Man United as and had a tear up with Man United, and then went to Main Road and had a tear up with Man City afterwards. So allegedly, the rumour is. So yeah.
No, definitely. So yeah, we'll be interested on Wednesday. We'll be back later in the week, won't we? I suppose to chew over that game a little bit and hopefully look forward to Saturday when we play Brentford, mate.
Yeah, Brentford would be good. Hopefully we can get hold of a Brentford fan this week for show later in the week and obviously find out about them, their season and all that lot. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting if we can find a Bolton. We should be able to find a Brentford fan. So yeah, it's... obviously we need to do well in the cup on Wednesday, but obviously I'd rather us do well against Brentford on Saturday, because I think the league's important. If we can get in a good position, then the league's important.
Oh yeah, the league is fundamental to this year. I think the feeling within the squad seems to be good. It's no surprise, because it's always something talks about the team spirit, the atmosphere. But I think within the dressing room, at least, there is that kind of feel that they've not done great, but to still have 4 points from the first two games, I would have bit your hand off if you told me that a week and a half ago. So it can only be a good thing, mate. I think I could tell with the interviews the players are saying. I think even Scott Malone's on Twitter doing these little Bosch antics that he was doing when he was at Derby. Wherever they get a win, he always Bosches on Twitter. So that's something you should learn about if you don't know that already. But even he said it, like, you know, it wasn't the performance we wanted, but still got the win. So I think the fields are right, and I think we will get it right creatively as well. It'll be interesting what Parrott does on Wednesday. Let's not hype him too much, still a young kid, but I think we're making steps in the right direction. Brentford's the sort of team we do well against in the home games. Normally, they keep the ball for ages and we like to counter, so it's an ideal situation as well. So who knows, we could be standing here next week on 7 points after three and, you know, everything being hunky-dory. So it's looking good, but I think we'll leave it here, mate. I think we'll return later in the week, maybe on Thursday. You know, we'll be back later. Obviously, check our socials as always, That Mill Pods and That Mill Podcast on Instagram as well. ThatMillPodcast@gmail.com if you want to drop us anything interesting on email. If you want to get involved, obviously get in contact as well.
We're going to be starting loading content over the next few weeks onto our YouTube channel. So we need you to get on there and start subscribing, because obviously we want to do some live stuff on there, but we can't do that until we've got a lot more viewers, a lot more subscribers. So, if you want to get on that, get in there and do that for us.
That's it. I think we'll wrap it up there. As always, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you later in the week. Come on, Millwall. Good luck against Burnley, and we'll go from there. Cheers, Mickey.
Up the Lions.